Hello, and thanks for joining us here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Well, today we continue in our series called God's Prescription for a Healthy Life. In it, Pastor Rick will show you how to improve your health physically, spiritually, relationally, and emotionally by applying the five essentials needed for a more vibrant life. If you want to have what it takes to live out your calling in life, stay with us for this amazing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit, a six-session video-based study by Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman. This out-of-the-box approach to a healthy lifestyle is based on five essentials: faith, food, fitness, focus, and friends. You can find out more right now by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message. Or you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Amazing Power of Forgiveness.
Forgiveness isn't conditional. It isn't minimizing the seriousness. It isn't resuming a relationship without change. It isn't forgetting what happened. And number five, it isn't my right when I wasn't the one hurt. Forgiveness isn't my right. It's not my right to forgive you if I wasn't the one hurt by you. The point here is the Bible says only the victim has the right to forgive. You can't forgive people who didn't hurt you. Now, again, I want to belabor this point because most people in our society don't get it. Today, we've got leaders walking around offering blanket forgiveness and asking blanket forgiveness when they don't know the person. They don't even know what happened. It's just words. It means nothing because they weren't involved in the hurt. A few years ago, in Paducah, Kentucky, a 14-year-old boy walked into a high school and pulled out a gun and shot three high school girls. And they died. The next morning, the bodies hadn't even, gotten cold yet. And the next morning, teenagers in that high school had put up a big sign that said, "We forgive you, Mike." And they, had this banner out in front of the school. Now, I know they meant well. And I know they thought they were doing the spiritual thing or the loving thing. But the fact is, it wasn't their right to forgive because they aren't the ones who had lost a daughter or a sister, or a granddaughter, or a niece. And, those girls weren't even buried in the ground yet, and they're saying, "It's okay, Mike, we forgive you," as if it was no big deal. He had just murdered three people. And how do you think the mother and the father of those girls felt? Wait a minute, it's not your right to forgive. I haven't forgiven yet. They haven't. Maybe I'll get there. But there are stages of grief, and I've got to go through that grief stages after stage, which includes anger. It's a legitimate part of grief. And then I may eventually get to the forgiveness over there. But you don't have a right to just blanket forgive them because they didn't hurt you. Only the main victims have the right to forgive. Right after 9/11, I remember a national leader stood up and said, "We all must forgive Osama bin Laden for 9/11. And he said, "I have forgiven him, and everybody else must too." Well, there's only one problem with that. It wasn't his right to forgive. He didn't have a wife or husband who died in the Twin Towers. He didn't have a daughter or a grandfather or a nephew or a fiance. And he was short-circuiting the process by offering forgiveness when he didn't have the right to do it. If I came over to your house today and you were standing there in shock because everybody in your family had just been murdered, and I walked up to the murderer and I said, "It's okay, I forgive you," you'd be going, "Hey, wait a minute, Rick. That's not your place to do that. It's my place to do that." So don't go around offering forgiveness to people that you didn't hurt or didn't hurt you. It's only the responsibility of the person hurt the most. Does that make sense? All right. You see, if anybody could proclaim forgiveness, we'd have no need for jails. And I'll just go out, "Well, I forgive you." And you can say, "Well, I forgive you, and I forgive you." And by the way, forgiveness never eliminates the consequence of the sin. It offers forgiveness. In other words, a prisoner can be repentant and be forgiven, but he's still got to serve his time. and pay his debt to society. And a drug addict can be forgiven for their addiction, but they're still going to carry the scars of addiction the rest of their life. And if a drug addict mother on crack has a baby, yes, she can be forgiven, but that baby may have problems the rest of its life. And it wasn't the baby's fault. There are always consequences to sin. It always hurts somebody. I mean, you can go out and be promiscuous and go to bed with anybody you want to go to bed with. And yes, God will forgive you, but you might still get an STD or AIDS, or you still may break up a home, or ruin a reputation, or hurt little kids. It always hurts people. Whenever I blow it, whenever I sin, I not only hurt my life, I hurt other people's lives too. And forgiveness doesn't get rid of the consequences. I mean, I've talked to so many people who say, Rick, I know that what I'm about to do is wrong, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway because I know God will forgive me. And I want to say to them, do you think God is stupid? Yes, of course, you can go out and do something, and yes, you can be forgiven if you genuinely repent of it and say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. But you're still going to have consequences. Why do you think these rules are in the Bible? They're for your benefit. God doesn't want you to have a broken heart, or anybody else for that matter. God doesn't want you to live with guilt and shame. God doesn't want little kids growing up with all kinds of insecurities and all kinds of things. And just because I get forgiveness doesn't mean I'm still not going to hurt an awful lot of people by my dumb decision. So what am I saying? There is always a cost to disobeying God. When he tells us to do something, it's for our own happiness. There's always a cost, and there's always a cost to forgiveness. Now, this one's the hard one. How do I forgive? And why must I forgive those who hurt me? Well, the Bible says there are three reasons that I have to let go of my past. I have to let go of the people who've hurt me. And they have nothing to do with the fact on whether that person deserves it or not. They don't. And you don't either in the forgiveness you've been given. But there are three reasons, and here they are. Number one, I am to forgive those who've hurt me because, number one, God has forgiven me. Jesus Christ has forgiven me. That's what he came to earth to do. And that's good news. The Bible says this, looking there on your outline, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Now let me make this really clear. The reason why some of you have such a hard time letting go, you go, man, I just can't let go of that. It hurt too much. The reason why you have a hard time forgiving is because you don't feel forgiven. You're never going to be very forgiving to other people if you don't feel forgiven yourself. If you don't feel totally forgiven by God, you know what? You're not feeling like doling it out to anybody else. And the reason why is you want to keep the scales balanced in your mind. You know that you've done certain wrong things, consciously or unconsciously. And so one of the ways we balance the guilt is with resentment. And when somebody says, well, you did this, well, we say, yeah, but you did that. Well, you did this, yeah, but you did that. Well, you did this, yeah, but you did that. And we keep the balance of the scales that way in our mind. Well, if all of a sudden you let them off the hook and you say, I'm not going to hold it to you anymore, boom, all of a sudden, what are you left with? Just a bunch of your own guilt. You see, you're never going to be able to let this one go until you let this one go first. You have to be forgiven first, feel forgiven first. You need to, if you're ever going to be a forgiving person, where the power comes from, you need to first accept the forgiveness of God through Jesus Christ. The Bible said God came to earth in human form in Jesus in order to forgive the sins of every human being, everything that's ever been done wrong, so he would pay for it and we wouldn't. Now that's good news. Look at the next verse. In fact, let's read this one aloud together. Colossians chapter 2. God forgave all our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross. Now, I like that phrase, he canceled the record contained in the charges against us. My guess is most of you have a charge card, a credit card. And some of you, you've probably racked up an awful lot of charges on that card. And some of you, you got a big, big debt on your monthly record, and you're just paying the minimum. You got the revolving account, and you're just paying the minimum on that. How about if somebody comes to you tonight and says, you know what? Let me see your Visa card. Let me see your MasterCard credit report. Let me see your American Express. And he looks and he sees all those charges, and he says, I'll tell you what. I will pay all these charges myself. Let's just rip this thing up. You'd go, okay, all right, I like that. Good deal. You're going to pay for all my debts, all my charges, and we'll just start over. Yeah, we'll just let you start over. It's like a fresh start financially. It's like being born over, being born again. It's like just getting a fresh new lease on life. We'll wipe the slate clean, and you'll have nothing against your name. Go right ahead. Go right ahead. That is exactly what Jesus Christ did for you and for me. When he came to earth and when he died on the cross, he paid the penalty for every sin that I have ever committed or you have ever committed. In fact, on the cross, he's already paid for the ones that I haven't thought up that I'm going to do next week. Did you know that? The sins you haven't even thought of yet that you're going to do next month and next year, Jesus Christ has already paid for them. That's why Christmas and Easter are such a big deal, because he came to rip up the charges against us and to give us a free credit, clean slate, start over, born again, brand new, new lease on life. Now, what does that mean? It means that when I finally feel that, what I just explained to you, have you ever received that? Have you ever accepted God's gift of forgiveness? And do you feel fully forgiven by God? Because if you don't, you're going to go out there, you're going to hold it over other people's heads too. Because inside you're going, I don't feel forgiven, so I don't want you feeling forgiven. But if all of a sudden you realize how much God has let you off the hook, believe me, you get a whole lot more giving. When you experience grace, something cool happens. You become gracious. When you really experience God's forgiveness, something really cool happens. You become forgiving. If you haven't ever accepted that forgiveness, later on I'm going to pray a prayer in this service, and I would encourage you to accept God's forgiveness so you can get on with the rest of your life. Number one, I must forgive because God has forgiven me. And the fact is, I will never be asked to forgive anybody else more than God has already forgiven me, because he's forgiven me for every wrong thing I've done. Not just one thing, but every wrong thing. Number two, the second reason why I have to forgive the people who hurt me is because resentment controls me. It controls me. It doesn't work. It just makes you miserable. In fact, resentment and bitterness and carrying a grudge just keeps you stuck in the past. And when you're stuck in the past, you are controlled by the past. I don't know if you've ever realized this or not, but every time you hate something, it controls you. Every time you resent something and you become bitter and angry at it, it controls you. Have you ever said this? You make me so mad. Now think about this. You're saying, I admit that you're controlling me right now. You make me mad. I don't want to be mad, but I'm so weak and inferior that I realize that you can control my emotions. And you can control me. You make me mad. I'm admitting that I am the weaker in the relationship and that I'm yielding control to you. And even though I don't want to be mad, you are making me mad. It's an admission of emotional dependency. You make me mad. You don't have to be mad. No matter what people do to you, you don't have to be mad about it. But when you allow people to make you mad, they are controlling you. Now, you certainly don't want people who hurt you to also control you. That's not very smart. And so you have to learn that this doesn't work. In the Bible, there was a guy named Job. There's a whole book written after him. It's called the Book of Job. Job was the wealthiest man in the world during his day. He was kind of the Bill Gates of his day. And he had enormous wealth. And he had a very large family. And he was just very well respected. And one day, in a single 24-hour period, he lost everything. First, he lost his home, all of his homes. He lost all of his crops, all of his flocks, all of his assets to a disaster. Completely wiped out. He went from the top to the bottom in one day. Second, some terrorists came in and killed all of his family, all of his children, daughters and sons, were all killed in the same day. And third, he got an incurable, painful disease on his body all at once. The only thing he had left was a nagging, complaining wife. Why, God? Why? Why, God? In fact, his wife was such a support to him that one day she said, "Hey, Job, why don't you just curse God and die?" "Oh, thank you, honey. That's a great idea." You've always been such an emotional support to me. He said, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, I mean, she was no support at all. Now, if anybody had a right to be a little resentful, a little bitter in life, it would be that guy, Job. But he refused to give in to resentment. He kept on trusting God and forgiving others and all these. Why? In that book, Job, it gives us the three reasons. The first one's at the bottom of your first side there, Job 18:4. It says, you are only hurting who? Yourself. You're only hurting yourself with your anger. Here's the first reason why you don't want to be unforgiving. Resentment is unhelpful. He said, you only hurt yourself. It always hurts you more than anybody else. It makes you miserable. It's self-destructive. It doesn't hurt anybody else. I mean, let's just say here, after this service, I'm going out to leave from the service, and there's a little bit of traffic out there. And let's say somebody just cuts me off, and I can't get out. And then I start stewing and spewing. And I, you know what's happened in my life? I want to just go out there and bump him, you know? And yet, you know, I'm all upset. He's totally oblivious to the fact that he cut me off, okay? And I go home and I tell my wife, Kay, honey, you wouldn't believe what happened at church tonight. This guy just cut me off. Now, he's over at you know, Claim Jumper having apple pie. He's not worrying about it. Who is the resentment hurting? Me. He's not worried about it at all. Resentment always hurts you more than the other person. Resentment cannot change your past. No matter how much you resent it, it isn't going to change the past at all. And resentment will never correct the problem. Holding on to the hurt will never correct the problem. And it's not even going to make you feel any better. In fact, it just makes you feel worse. The most miserable people in life are bitter people. They're bitter. They're unhelpful. It's unhelpful because it doesn't help you. Now listen, your past is past. It's in your past. It can't hurt you anymore. It's over. They hurt you, and it really did hurt. But they can't continue to hurt you unless you choose to allow them. Come on in and hurt me some more. And how does that happen? When you hold on to the hurt. And when you rehearse it and rehearse it and rehearse it in your mind, you are allowing people from your past to continue to hurt you in the present. And that's dumb. Some of you are allowing people who hurt you 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30 years ago. Shoot, some of them are even dead now. And yet they're continuing to hurt you now. That's stupid. Don't let it happen. They can't hurt you anymore. Your past is past. You just got to let it go. As long as you will not forgive, you're going to keep on hurting and hurting and hurting. So you don't let them go for their sake. They don't deserve it. You let them go for your sake because it's unhelpful. You got to let it go. Those people long ago start thinking about something else, and you're the one who's all in an emotional mess over it. Now, on the back of your outline, there's another verse, Job 5:2, and it says this. To worry yourself to death with resentment would be a foolish, senseless, or unreasonable thing to do. And it says here that resentment is not only unhelpful, it's unreasonable. It's not really logical to hold on to your hurt, to hold on to your grudges. It's not very rational. In fact, have you noticed that when people get angry, they act in really silly ways? Have you ever seen somebody get really mad in public, and then they just make a fool of themselves, and everybody's going, look at that person. They look so foolish. And somebody who's really mature most of the time and cool and copacetic and everything, but then all of a sudden you get them ticked off, and then they act like a donkey, you know? And they're just out there, you know, they're foolish because they think that it's going to help by getting revenge and getting even. It says you're only hurting yourself, and the worry about with resentment is a foolish, senseless thing to do. You go, I'll show him, and then you do something ridiculous. It's like the other day I was preparing for a sermon watching the Three Stooges. And Curly kept getting hit. You know, he kept getting hit by Mo on the chest. Mo kept slapping Curly, you know, on the chest. Curly goes, I'm going to get him. I'll get with him. So he says, I'm going to strap dynamite on my chest. So the next time he slaps me, it'll blow his hand off. Resentment is unreasonable. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:9, It is foolish to harbor a grudge. You know what that means? If you're holding on to a grudge, you're acting foolish. You are acting like a fool. Because all you're doing is hurting yourself. When you hold on to a grudge, you're not hurting the other person. You're just hurting yourself. It doesn't work. It prolongs your hurt. In fact, it's a form of emotional suicide. Then not only is it unhelpful, and it's unreasonable. The Bible says that resentment is unhealthy. Your body was not designed to handle prolonged anger. God didn't make your body to handle holding on to hurts, holding on to resentment, holding on to regrets, and holding on to all of those negative emotions in your body. You know, have you ever said, that person, he is such a pain in the... And that's why you have a pain there. Okay? You know, a lot of you have back pain. And it's not L5-S1, it's Larry and Susie. And you don't like them, and the stress bugs you, and you won't let it go. And so if you don't talk it out in forgiveness, when I don't talk it out in forgiveness, I take it out on my body. And whenever I swallow my anger, my stomach keeps score. And so it is unhealthy for you to hold on to resentment and unto grudges and to be unforgiving.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, the truth is that most of us don't pay much attention to our health until something goes wrong. We put on a couple of pounds every year and think, no big deal, right? But a few pounds over 5 or 10 years can really add up. That's why Pastor Rick Warren has put together the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit. This 6-session video-based study by Rick Warren, Dr. Daniel Amen, and Dr. Mark Hyman is an out-of-the-box approach to a healthy lifestyle based on 5 essentials: faith, food, fitness, focus, and friends. The Daniel Plan Study Kit gives individuals the encouragement and accountability needed to succeed. If you've been watching the scale go up lately, or your health is in trouble because of your weight, it's not too late to join. Join the more than 15,000 people who've lost weight, improved their health, and improved their relationships by ordering the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit. Let us send you a copy of the Daniel Plan DVD Study Kit as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of this ministry. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, I want to just thank every one of you for your generous support. People all over the world are now listening to Daily Hope because of your financial support. Let me read you a letter from Rhoda, who lives in Papua New Guinea. Do you even know where that is? It's down toward Australia. Rhoda wrote, "I want to let you know that the Daily Hope has helped change my views toward life because you share from the Word of God." She said, "I've recommended Daily Hope to all my workmates, and since then, the life of one of my colleagues has changed, and she's always thankful for your sharing. We listen to Daily Hope every day. So I'm praying for you, Pastor Rick." Well, thank you. Thank you for your note, Rhoda, and thank you for writing all the way from Papua New Guinea, and thank those of you who are supporting this ministry so we can reach people like Rhoda. I'm glad you're living out God's principles in your daily life, Rhoda, and I want to say thanks to all of you for your support. And join me next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.